coming, y'all.
Coming since 1983 when I was brought into this world as a beautiful kid. I couldn't see it then, but I see it now. My vision is clear and everything I wanted simply appeared. It's right here. Gotta grip it and grab it and seize the moment. My time is now. My flow was golden. My name was chosen by a couple that was up to this day. They taught me everything I know. That's why I'm built this way. To put my face in a position to fight with grace. I learned from living and making mistakes. Forsaking my place has basically made whatever the stakes. It's how I'm at your top at 10 bucks. It's more than a case. It's more than a taste of my soul and of my life and of my past. Focus on the future to make time last and make you all want it and make the world want it. It's like crack cause you can't sleep on it. 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 Come on, y'all. It's here, y'all. All area crews. I know it's good. Las Vegas. Sleep on it. Las Vegas. Come on, y'all. Campfire music, y'all. What's up, Cynical? I see you, boy. Y'all know what it is.
Never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade.
Wow, man, that was crazy. Since Birth. That was Samson, a local hip hop artist here in Las Vegas. And I'm Andrew Fetter, When Pigs Fly. Anyway, God, I'm not calling you, like I said, from Vegas. It's like getting nice weather out here. It's getting in the 80s. And I'm at 100. Crap. Anyway, I got a lot of things happening, but, you know, this, before I get into it, I actually have a special guest coming on, you all know, if you read on the screen there. But first, actually, I was going to tell you this. Weekend I'm having, and I've always talked about it, about getting healings from this special lady, Sun. She's a Reiki master. And actually, she's giving me a healing this weekend, and I look forward to that. And she utilizes, like I said, Reiki and crystals, so that should be pretty good because, you know, that I need like every at least 2-3 months regeneration of that. And for you folks, if you ever come down to Las Vegas, and you feel low and you're not making enough money instead of spurging on that one-armed bandit or whatever, you should check her out. And if you have any questions about Reiki, her website is www.epichealing.com. And her also has a contact information, but you can also call her direct at 702-405-8912. And speaking of which, she will be on my show on the 26th of October, which should be very fascinating because she'll explain all the very details of Reiki. And I'm sure everybody wonders, what's healing? And if you ever want to know how to become a healer and such, that, you know, very much she'll be getting to the in-depthness of that. And speaking of healing, I'd like to put out my thoughts and prayers to a very special lady in Massachusetts for a very speedy recovery. I think I just got shot with another arrow by Cupid. I have so many arrows shot in my ass, I don't think I can sit down anymore. Thanks, Peg. And speaking of which, also, I just want to let y'all know, always go ahead and check out my blog site, andrew.myufo.com. I have a lot of quasi of stuff from politics to religion and my little ranting of things, and check it out. And also go back on my archives if you have any questions, and you can always send me emails at flyingpigs@artlover.com, whether it's about Kabbalah or thoughts or things or politics or religion or Middle East and all that stuff. And now I have my special guest who is hanging on here by a thread here patiently. She is a very renowned astrologist and intuitive tarot reader. And here's Carrie. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. And Carrie Fezza, I understand when I had spoken to you possibly doing a astrology on our candidates, and so everybody's like, who are our, what's the real story about, who is really Hillary Clinton, who is Barack Obama, and who is, you know, Mitt Romney and Giuliani, et cetera. So before we get into that, people are probably going to wonder, who is Carrie? I mean, what's her background? And, you know, maybe you can elaborate on, you know, your astrology and how you came about it and, you know, basically some aspects about yourself.
Well, I'm a Canadian native. I moved to New Jersey about 20 years ago and spent a lot of time there, where I studied with quite a few different people, but my biggest learning experience came from Ken Nagus and his group, the Astrological Society of Princeton. Not affiliated with the university, but it sounds good. And I was able to meet a lot of famous astrologers through him and be able to, you know, socialize with them. That was a great experience. And since then, my basic knowledge of astrology, I just apply it to the people around me. That's how I know it works. And for all of you, you know, the people that don't believe in it, well, it's just really too bad because it really gives you a lot of insight. And I went into this, this isn't my area of expertise at all. I told you that. So this was a bit of a challenge for me, but I enjoyed it because I'm Canadian, so I don't have any political bent one way or the other.
Carrie, that's perfect because then you're disinterested. We want a Canadian in there. We don't want any.
Canadian, no, but American politics. I didn't even know who the Canadian Prime Minister was when I was up there in August. I had to ask my family.
Oh,
I know more about America, but when I did.
So you're not a Tory. So
I knew a little bit about the candidates. Of course, I knew a little bit about Hillary Clinton because, you know, her husband was in the White House. And I had a lot of fun during the Clinton years. But some of this was really revealing. It was just kind of interesting. And I just want to say, in some of the charts, I couldn't get exact birth data. So we did what's called a solar chart, just looking up the planets for their day of birth. But it's still pretty revealing also.
Wow. So, but that was pretty good, though, because you're being Canadian, not knowing about politics, and not knowing a lot of the substance, that's actually giving more of a, unbiased view, so to speak. And since you don't, not even a Tory or the other side, I forget which they call the other ones in Canada. But that's really cool. But can I ask you, you know, most of our listeners out there are probably wondering, well, how do you come about your information when you set up a, you know, an aspect, I guess, an astrology or a natal chart, or how do you go about it?
Well, first I look at the planets, where the planets were in position. If you have the exact time of birth, you can also get the moon position, and that's kind of important in a political chart because it represents the public. See, when you get into worldly astrology, it's called mundane astrology, even though the name doesn't quite fit. It's a very different study, but just I applied basic astrology principles here. I looked at the natal charts, the interrelationship of the planets, the aspects, what sign the planets were in, just like I would do a natal chart for you or anybody else. Then I did a chart for the day of the election, and I took the transiting planets the day of the election and put them around each individual nominee or whatever, their chart, to see what was happening for them on election day, because whoever, in my opinion, whoever has the best aspects should be the one who wins. No? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
That was my criteria that I used. Election date is 11/4/08. It's the transiting planets for that day. and superimpose them around each person's natal chart to see who had the most favorable aspects on election day.
Well, since that's now we have that understanding, and I mean that makes sense how you set that up. Can you maybe let's maybe just start shooting down some of the candidates, because I know everybody's sitting there and the needles go, well, let's hear the candidates. So, well, since Barack Obama is probably the one of the most featured right now as far as being wanting set to aside, what do you have on Barack Obama?
Okay, well, first of all, let me just say, too, I got my information for this off StarIQ.com. So a couple of the charts were 100%, some of them were 91%. So that, if anybody wants to challenge my information, that's where I got it from. Except for Giuliani's date of birth, I got that from a customer of mine. And looking at the chart I got on Barack Obama, he is very sexy. He's got a lot of charm. He always struck me as very intelligent and well-spoken, and he is. He's a Leo, so there's a lot of ego involved in wanting to be in power, and you'll see a lot of Leo, either sun, moon, planets in the charts of presidents. So it has that Leo rules the entertainment business. To be an actor or actress, you're going to see a lot of Leo. So I'm not saying all politicians are actors or actresses, but there's definitely a connection to the entertainment industry and wanting to be in the spotlight, and he definitely has that.
Well, he definitely has that natural charisma.
Yeah, well, that's Neptune. Close to the ascendant is what we call it in astrology. People that have that just have natural charisma. Marilyn Monroe had something similar to that. It looks like he would be good with money, both foreign and domestic finances. He just gets lots of love from the public. The public loves him. He's very well-spoken, thoughtful, intelligent. And on election day, there's also an aspect where it mirrors a lot of love from the public. And he's ready for a career change, definitely ready for a career change. He has issues with change, as some of the other candidates do. He's not a big person. If change is going to come into his life, he's going to want to be in control of it. Well, there's a couple other candidates that have that a lot worse. But he's ready to make a career move, I would say. He'd be good for our deficit.
Well, I know he wants a career move.
Yeah, don't they all?
In the White House.
Exactly. He'd be good for the deficit and making money through or from foreign countries. He likes control, and in that way he's kind of unyielding. Power is important to him. And right now, the South Node is going into Leo in January, and that'll be there for a couple of years. When the South Node goes into your sun sign, you really have to be careful of being your own worst enemy. So he'll have to watch out for scandals or something that might be his undoing.
Don't tell me he's going to be another Clinton.
Well, it wouldn't. Depends how you define it. Clinton was a good president in a lot of ways, but he had some personal...
Well, I mean scandals in that kind of way. A Monica scandal, and we'll find some, you know, someone stressed.
Very close. This will come very close on election day.
Oh. Wow. Now, what do you have on, like, Mitt Romney? Because he seems to be a new, people are now hearing about him and being from Massachusetts governor and being a Republican. He's definitely a different situation, and he's an upcomer. What do you have on him?
Well, it's funny you said he's from Massachusetts. I had forgotten that because he really struck me as a modern-day JFK, very charming, rather young. Well, not so young, but he comes across as a family man, very spiritual person. His religion, I guess, is the Mormon religion.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he could also have those other aspects that JFK had. Very charming, love women, a very sexy person. I wouldn't be surprised if he moves forward, if we see scandals around him. Now, I got to be careful there because I know that won't sit very well with the Mormons, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's secret love affairs around him. He's a very secretive person. He could be also very...
Well, thank God it's woman. Lately, we've been hearing a lot of the Republicans of going, hanging around bathrooms lately, but...
Oh, is that one senator?
Yeah, Senator Craig.
Yeah. Well, I don't see. I don't know if he's gay, bashing. I don't know if there's going to be gay scandals in his closet, but I just see hidden things around him. There's an element of potential deception there. He's very charming. He's the type of person that puts himself out there and looks really great, but he could be a little sly also.
Huh.
He's not going to be great for the budget. I see him more as a big spender.
Wow. A big spender as a Republican. That's interesting.
He's actually a little bit radical.
Wow.
He's sort of going into a period where he's, I don't know how else to put it, but ready to break free. Around the election, he's going to be really ready to just break free and do something new. But I don't know. Well, we'll have to see. He could do well with health care.
Huh. Well, he did it in Massachusetts, ironically. What about Edwards? What do you have on him? John Edwards.
Well, this guy's a great debater. He's a loaded Gemini. He's got the sun and the moon and Jupiter and Gemini. So he's got Uranus on the ascendant. So he's highly, highly intelligent. He's a talker. And I don't know how else to say it. Are we allowed to say things on air? He's a big bullshitter, personally. I just think he's all talk.
Oh, really? Wow.
He's got a lot of hidden stuff, too. He can be somewhat deceptive. I don't see him as charismatic as Mitt Romney, but he's a talker.
Yeah, he is a really smooth talker, that's for sure. That's surprising that he said he talks, because he basically placates on, I don't know if that's, but a lot of politicians do that, and he is a lawyer, so he knows how to definitely do that, because of course they're all lawyers.
Like I said first, he's a great debater. He's very advanced. He's far-sighted in the way of he sees the bigger picture, and he gets things on a much higher level than probably the average person. He's very pro-America, but I don't think he's good with money. He's a control freak when it comes to money, his own finances, so that would probably reflect on the country, our budget.
Wow. We're
getting
with
money
our big deficit.
From investors.
Wow.
Outside endorses. He's charming. He's got his certain amount of charm, but basically he's all talk. And it looks like there's a dysfunctional family background there, and it wouldn't surprise me if there are some issues. We were talking about hidden sexuality around his father. I don't know if anybody knows anything on that.
Wow. That's fascinating. How about Thompson? He's now decided to come throw his ring in the loop here. What about our favorite senator actor?
Well, he's an actor. I did not know that. But
yeah.
He's got a Leo son.
Yeah, he's been in movies, and he has that. He's been on that. I think Law and Order for a long time, for like a couple of years now. Yeah.
Well, he's got that Leo aspect that Barack Obama has, the son in Leo, which is what President Clinton had. Likes to be on stage, but he's also very far-sighted. He's really good with foreign diplomacy. If anything, he might be a little overly idealistic. He's also kind of prone to aggression. But Edwards has that sort of assertiveness, too, which isn't a bad thing if you're president. You can't be passive. I think he should make foreign policy his platform if he hasn't already. His chart really impressed me because he's someone
who was
really...
Well, he was a lobbyist that dealt with foreign policy, ironically, too bad. He dealt with that dictator that was in Haiti, but he was very much involved with the lobbyists that dealt with foreign affairs back then. And yeah, I know he was very instrumental in a lot of different situations, what side you believe in, but he was definitely a shaker, if you could call it that, inside the foreign policy realm within the lobbyist movements.
Well, that would make sense. He just kind of impressed me. I really, cause like I said, I knew nothing about him going in.
Mm-hmm.
He's a politician's politician, I would say.
Hmm.
Wasn't he in Congress? Was he a senator?
Yeah, he was for a long time, and then he dropped out. He according to him, he got disenchanted with a lot of the aspects of it, and then he got in his forte. He likes acting, and he got a taste of it on some previous movies and shows, and then he just jumped in the ring, and that was like a natural for him. And I think he's been doing Law and Order. I think he plays a prosecutor, if I could recall. It's like a natural niche for him. And you know, he's got that heavy tone, controlling, the father aspect, some people call it, and, you know, and I think that's some of the Republicans are looking at him maybe the new, you know, like a Reaganist type of person, but he's got definitely a lot of issues because he was also involved with Planned Parenthood, which is pro-choice, pro-abortion, whatever you want to call it, which, in being a Republican, he would have a problem with that. And now he's going backward. And I know he it was sort of funny because it was like what you were talking about with Edwards. He has a lot of aspects. He placates, or Mitt Romney too, placates to whoever he's speaking to, which again, here, that's like a lot of politicians. They, you know, they all say to who they're talking to what they want to hear, but he's really definitely.
Women's issues are important to him, but just the foreign policy jumps out so much. He would probably want to reach out to other nations to benefit the U.S. He's
mm-hmm.
good with finances. I'd say he's good at domestic affairs, but he's also prone to sudden changes.
Mm-hmm.
He would definitely utilize the media to his maximum advantage if he was, because he knows that, I guess, from being an actor, and it shows in his chart that the media would be very instrumental to his presidency. Princess Diana was someone who utilized the media really well for her causes and her own personal cause. He has those kind of things. But potentially, he could transform health care, but it would probably have something to do with the children.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
He kind of impressed me in a lot of ways with how his chart laid out, but a lot of it's going to be dependent on foreign policy, relying on other nations to benefit our country, and I don't know how else to say that. It's just, I don't know if that's the direction we need to be heading right now, because there's a lot of controversy over outsourcing and, you know,
right.
relying on ourselves. There's also the potential with the transits that are going on in his life right now that the presidency could corrupt his morals. That's a shocker, right?
Yeah. Wow. Another one. Hey, well, so what do you have on our ex-mayor of the Big Apple, Rudy Giuliani?
Rudy Giuliani, I have a correct time of birth for him, so I just have his planet. Again, he's another politician's politician. He's extremely bright, charming, and he's a great talker. He's also somewhat unpredictable, though. He can change his mind in a moment's notice, or just one day be this way and one day be the next way. I don't know if he's played out that way in political circles. I lived, of course, on the East Coast during the time he was the mayor. And there was different things about him. He was always pretty well respected, I think. He'd be good with the budget, good with the deficit, but not so great getting contributions from other countries. That's what I saw. He's very confident, almost overly confident, overly optimistic. But, again, you sort of have to have that personality when you're taking on... He took on the New York mob and basically annihilated that, is how we know the mob that it was at one time.
Right.
So that is good to have that kind of confidence to take on those kind of tasks. So he'd be good in that aspect of things, as long as he doesn't.
So he's like the prosecuting type of like a personality, the person who go out there and get the law and order situation, which he did in New York. He got me cleaned up New York as far as crime. I mean, I think
he's better with domestic issues as opposed to foreign issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen that. I saw his one debate, and all he kept talking about was New York, and he was greatly criticized for it. It's okay, but, you know, we're still going to have to deal with the world, and I'm not quite sure if he's as prepared for that. He's got a lot of anger and aggression, too, in his chart. And a lot, it might be directed towards women, so I don't know where he stands on women's causes.
Well, he's pro. The funny thing, he's a Republican, but he's very, very pro-choice, and he's also pro gay rights. I mean, he's almost like, except for being a Republican and probably being very stern as far as on foreign affairs, he's more hawkish. He's sort of like Arnold Schwarzenegger in a lot of sense. I mean, he's very liberal on one side, on most of the socialist.
Very unconventional. He's got the planet Uranus right next to his sun. Uranus is the modern ruler of the sign Aquarius, which is the sign given to, like, the free thinker,
right.
The independent person, It's really prominent in all political charts. You're going to see a strong Uranus because Uranus, to me, rules politics. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it is someone who's unconventional like that and would have unconventional, quote, unconventional ideas.
Huh.
But it also makes him really smart. Edwards, a lot of the, like I said, the candidates have that, but for him, I think it fits with what you're saying with the abortion.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. It's real weird. It's like it's sort of strange. I don't even know how he'll become even a Republican win the primary, because it would be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. The only reason why he was Met governor was basically his social values being pro-choice and sort of neutral. He's at least neutral on gay rights, but he's more liberal, if you want to put that, on social issues. Physically, he's was conservative, but you can find that now. A lot of Democrats are moving very fiscally conservative, but a lot more hawkish. But see, and then you're finding a lot of it. But I mean, basically, with a big split, I think, between the Republicans on platforms is just the social values, and that's why I think the religious right jumped on the bandwagon with Republicans, where he causes a problem with that. So I just found that it's a cause A situation with him where he's at. It's sort of weird, but I remember in New York, he definitely cleaned up New York. He definitely has charisma.
He's good for this country, but I'm not so sure how he'd be with
foreign affairs. In foreign affairs, yeah, he's like maybe another, I mean, he's just obviously more, I think, a lot more intelligent than George Bush, at least reads a book and knows where Iraq is.
George Bush, I would say. I think he looks like a fun guy to hang out with, but not to run the country. He's got lots of skeletons in his closet, too. Everybody knows that, but when he gets towards Election Day, they have the potential to be really exposed. So this is the big thing I know they've been saying about him, is his past is going to come back to haunt him, and that really plays out with the planets.
Well, he has the biggest problem in his past, actually, and people don't realize, like on 9/11, he wasn't so great as make people think. I know he actually did some really stupid things, like before 9/11, the World Trade Center was, bombed prior to that. And he, instead of placing central command for a disaster or terrorist situation in even alternate areas, like splitting off in satellite areas, two or three places, or even one that would no one would be, it would be obviously so distant, from any arm's length for some disaster. He puts it back in this place where it was once attacked. I mean, put it in the Trade Center, which then got blown up, so they have absolutely had no communication at all. Then he was well known for allocating proper communication equipment for the firemen. So when they were going, they were being told, "Get down, get down." They couldn't even hear him, and a lot of that stuff went down because it was obsolete walkie-talkies and such. And he's been criticized, by the firemen's union over that. And then there's the policeman who, there's questions about him over that. So there, I mean, but he did clean up New York, because I remember going to New York, and you'd walk, and back in the '80s and early '90s, you would. You go through Grand Central Station, and there are people all over the place, and a lot of homeless. But then the crime was ridiculous. I mean,
Times Square. Like I lived there for 20. I told you, around that area. I've been to, New York. What is so not what it was 20 years ago? It is a nicer. It represents a lot of corporate America now. Times Square.
Yeah.
Sanitized for your protection. So I sort of miss the old character. But yes, it is a much cleaner place, safer place to live. And just taking on the mafia like that, you have to have huge...
Wavels.
He does.
He did. Well, Bobby Kennedy.
With foreign diplomacy. He's got strengths and he's got weaknesses, but I have a lot to say about him later, but I'm not going to say it now.
Yeah. Oh, I know, and everybody's going to go, "What about Hillary?"
Okay, well, a lot to say about Hillary. A lot of stuff going on with her. She has lots of planets. She has quite a few planets in Leo, and she has many planets in what we call points in Scorpio. Both those signs are what we call fixed signs. People that have fixed sign energy just by sun or moon placement, and she's got like 9 planets and points in the fixed signs, is make sure incredible. incredibly stubborn. She's very unyielding. When it comes to negotiating that, she's going to be very unyielding. She has a mutable moon in Pisces and a mutable ascendant in Gemini. So, again, she's a great talker, very bright, very intelligent. And her Pisces moon falls up in the 10th house in her chart. And she can gather a lot of empathy from the public. She's a great, she's a real charmer. She could give Mitt Romney a run for his money, even though some people don't care for her just because they know her past. She's very deceptive to me. She will lie like anything to get elected. I know that's blunt, and for all you Hillary supporters, I'm sorry, but I think this woman is just true deception. And once she gets in, she's going to be really rigid and unyielding. She's very secretive, very stubborn, very covert, and she's going to be very rigid on domestic affairs. This won't serve us well with foreign policy. When it comes to health care, she's your best bet. That shows in her chart. She's sincere when she talks about health care.
Well, that was her forte. She says she wants to be the health care president.
She tried it before. It didn't work. I mean, she's got to try.
Her situation was the wrong timing, which he did. Well, I don't want to say wrong timing, but it was just the American people were being misled and at that time about what the real situation with health care. And
she came.
And she,
what do they call it? Global health care, whatever. It's not going to work. I'm from Canada. It's not even so great up there. You have to wait like a year sometimes for an operation. My grandmother was 89 years old last year. She had to wait almost a year for a new hip. The only reason she got her operation sooner was because my aunt worked in the hospital and she was able to look at the doctors and who had free surgery schedules.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of a wet dream, that health care.
Yeah, I know, Kerry, you said that about Canada. But see, I lived in Israel for 6 years, and they have a universal health care system, but they have actually three level. They have, like, basic, and nobody, you don't pay. And then you have, you pay a little bit, which is, like, $200 a year. And that's, like, you go to clinics, and if you want private, you know, it's, like, $500 a year. And their system was unbelievably great. I mean, it was...
How big is Israel as a country? Isn't it a rather small country with a very low population?
Yep. But you look at per capita, per person, as far as care and technology, actually their medical technology is, the truth is way surpassed from the United States as far as a lot of stuff. I mean, they were doing eye surgeries and a lot of stuff, ultrasounds, before they were doing it here. Because I had my oldest daughter was born there, and they were doing stuff there before they were even doing it in the United States. But and it's a different way of mentality. I think there's a different mentality too to that. I mean, and that incorporates culturally too. So, and I know what you said about Canada, because what you're saying, my son-in-law is from the UK, and he runs through the same thing. So, and I've heard that same aspect about
healthcare. She's very sincere about that.
Yeah.
Probably might be the only area she's very sincere in, because with her I just see a lot of smoke and mirrors. You've got to listen very carefully to what she really says.
But that's really interesting. You said her stubbornness, because that's what happened. She just ruffled so many feathers. She didn't do it, like, real nicely. That's what happened. She just said, hey, I'm shutting down all the insurance companies and it's national health care, period. Instead of either doing some sort of quasi-merger between both of them, you know, and like now that's her new thing. She's trying to do like a both of them. I remember the insurance companies went right after. In fact, the monies from the insurance companies is what the insurance companies are the one who funded the attack on her husband, and that's what led to Monica Lewinsky. In fact, there's a whole line you can see where the monies came from to Jerry Falwell to... what's her name, Morth or whatever her name was, that started the whole cycle event. All that money came from the insurance companies because of health care. And that's, you know, come on.
She's almost like a dictator. I mean, she's very rigid. It's not going to be good.
You said foreign affairs? She seems like the more understanding, though, of the Middle Eastern affairs, though. I mean, between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
She does have good planets for foreign policy and diplomacy, very much like Edwards, but her when she's tenacious too. You'll give her that. Like when she puts her mind to something, like the healthcare issue, she'll stop at nothing till she knows it can't be done. But at the same time, once she gets her mind set on an idea, she's mm-hmm. going to be very, very unyielding, and that.
Wow.
Point,
so we're like we don't have any good choices again.
She's not what you get.
Well, that's what we, you know, it's, they're...
That's true of all politicians to some extent, right?
They're all food. Well, look at the, it's, we're in a plutocracy. Most of the people who are running are very wealthy and basically selected, you know, to some extent. I mean, I almost feel like we're, it's just a change. It's not, it's, they're playing the game. Okay, now, you know, like look at President Clinton and George Bush Sr., they're both buddies. They hang out together and, you know, and it's like they're going, okay, it's your turn now. And I just feel sometimes it's like that, and I think that's why people reach out to prospectively, like, you know, maybe like in some sense, you know, the Democrats are reaching out maybe instead of a Hillary to a Barack, and on the Republic side, they want like another Bush thing, so maybe they're trying to look at a Giuliani or somebody a little bit different. And I think they were looking at one time McCain because he was a maverick, but now he's like George Bush, so he's gone. I mean, basically nobody wants another George Bush. So,
oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What do you
think about the candidates? And I know we went through some of them about the relationships to the domestic issues. If you were to do a chart and you go A to B and you go 1 through 5, you know, is top to bottom, and starting, let's say, from the Republicans, who would be the best and the worst for domestic affairs as far as Republicans and handling domestic, let's say, who would be the...
You know, I was looking more at foreign affairs because of the war.
Okay, well, let's do foreign affairs then. Who would be, yeah, since we were in the middle of Iraq War, who the hell? Since they want $200 billion now, like that, I mean, $200 billion, I can't believe they want $200 billion more for that.
No, I saw that on the news and I almost threw up, like, oh, we need an election, like, tomorrow, not next year, but...
$200 billion, I think all those people who don't...
Goes, you know, we just discussed Hillary, she's good.
But listen, if you were to go from...
Obama would be number one on the Democrats, I think.
You think who would be number one on the Democrats?
Barack Obama.
Yeah. That's interesting.
He's intelligent there. He's smart there. He's suited to foreign affairs. I think he would be the best. Hillary, you know, we just talked about her. She's good with foreign diplomacy. Edwards, again, he's just a talker. You can't be in office for 4 years. If you can't... walk your talk, it's going to show after a while, so I would put him down as a C maybe, and then, yeah, A for Barack Obama, number one, 2 for Hillary, and 3 for John Edwards. As far as Republican goes, in order of foreign policy, Mitt Romney, he'd be okay. I think he's going to have some problems, though, so he'd be my last choice for foreign diplomacy. Giuliani, he's okay, too. We talked about him, but not great. Hands down, out of all the candidates, Republican and Democrat, Fred Thompson, right across
wow.
the board.
Wow, that's interesting. Wow.
And you were talking about his work in Haiti.
Yeah, but the Haiti, he was for a ruthless dictator.
Maybe the ruthless dictator could get the job done, though. It all depends.
No, but he was hooked up with the Haiti, and that's when Clinton had to go in.
He's not for everybody. That's the issue I have with this war. We can't go and impose our way on certain countries because it's not always the way. But he could be pro-war if it was necessary, but... Also, I think he's much more interested in helping the wounded or looking after the underdog. I think he would be the best, hands down, because he would look at it as what could it do for our country. That's just my own personal humble opinion.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is I'm going out on a limb here with all of this because it's not my normal.
Okay, if you were to go through them all, who would be? Because since George Bush, all the presidents we've had, even as bad as Nixon was, as far as foreign, at least in foreign affairs, there was a high respect to the United States, you know, as far as leadership. Because we've lost our respectability to leadership since the George Bush, who would be more respected. I mean, that could be our next, being our next president, that could stand in front of the UN instead of people, oh God, putting their heads over their eyes when they see him standing at the podium, go, hey, you know, let's listen to what he has to say, you know, type of person. Somebody who would be mostly respected worldwide. Who do you think would be that?
I go back to Fred Thompson on that because it kind of relates to the last question.
Wow.
He's a lot of charm when it comes to the world at large. Very charming, but in a practical way. He's very well-spoken. He's very thoughtful and very intelligent. Again, he's a politician's politician.
Wow.
Really good with foreign diplomacy. Barack Obama, more respected worldwide, yes, but he comes across as a little radical or a little abrupt. That's how I would say worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney, no.
Wow.
He's his own worst enemy there. John Edwards, he's very charming, too, when it comes to the world at large. He's ambitious, also. So he shapes up good as far as worldwide respect goes. Giuliani, nothing special there. And Hillary Clinton, much love and respect from the world at large, especially women.
Huh.
Again, it's very charming. I'm not sure it's sincere.
Wow. Well,
I see a lot of
women leaders. I mean, they also, I remember they're like Golda Meir, and then there's Bhutto, who was, they all had like their certain ways, but that it'd be interesting seeing her being a woman president, and then there have Bhutto would come back as Pakistani president, and there's a lot of that's in Germany. They have a woman chancellor now, and it'd be interesting to see if she did become president, would change sort of the mentality of the world. And I know she said she's stubborn and all, but who knows?
This is just the image she would
bring. Right.
Be her own worst enemy and undermine herself when she opens her mouth. But
she
said she would be more most respected worldwide, and she would definitely. She knows how to charm people, like I said before, and she's very good at getting public empathy.
Wow!
And she would have a lot of respect from women leaders.
Huh.
Let's face it: whoever wins this election is going to be heralded as the second coming. Because they're just going to be so happy to be rid of George Bush.
Yeah, I guess so. Anything's better than George Bush. So do you see anything like any interesting aspects in this election? Any real surprises that we're going to see this jump out at us or what?
I couldn't tell you what surprises exactly, but there will be an element of surprise on election day. The planet Venus is getting close to Pluto, which is complete and total transformation, which is what we need. And those two planets are going to be in a hard aspect to Uranus and Saturn, which are opposing each other on election day. So I'd say we're definitely in for a surprise. There's going to be something very shady and underhanded with this election, I would say, but that's probably true of most elections, just whether or not we find out about it. There's going to be a big surprise, but I think it'll be a pleasant surprise.
Huh.
I don't think it has to be it'll be revolutionary. And I'd say, based on the little studying I've done of mundane astrology, which is world astrology, political astrology, there's a real potential for a terrorist attack on that day.
Wow.
But otherwise, the planets line up very favorably. Jupiter is the planet associated with foreign affairs, foreign, you know, diplomacy, legal issues. It's also associated with luck and abundance. And Jupiter makes a very positive aspect that day to most of the stuff going on in the chart. So
wow.
I think we're going to have a lot of love from other nations just by electing a new president, which, you know, my guess, it'll probably be a Democrat.
Who do you think is going to jump out as far as being, well, let me just put this lately, who do you think will become the Democratic and Republican tickets for primaries? Huh?
I tell you what, Democratic-wise, Hillary Clinton, you know, and it's so interesting when you look at her chart, what's happening at that time in her life. She's going to go through some real marriage crisis stuff. So it's funny if she does get elected.
Well, Bill's
really
going to have to wear a dress.
I always thought Bill Clinton's a Leo. I don't think he can ever handle being number two in the White House. He was the king. He's not going to want to pass the crown to the queen.
Yeah.
But she definitely stands out to me as the Democratic nominee. And if she was smart, she would make John Edwards her running mate. He's a great second banana. He
really, not
very
Barack Obama?
Behind the scenes. He's a really good negotiator behind the scenes. He's going to get a lot of public support on Election Day, but there's also going to be some hidden anger issues on Election Day, and I think it's going to be a little tough on his ego, too, if Hillary does get elected, and he's standing there as number two, being the first.
Again.
Yeah, well, he didn't get elected last time, but I think she'd be, I don't know if she could do Barack Obama as a running mate, because it's just a little too much, and I don't mean to sound prejudiced, but I, as from a world, a broader perspective, you have a woman and the black man on the same ticket. That's a little radical for some people in this country. Not for me, but I think if she puts John Edwards as a running mate, because he came out, he does come out kind of strong, that they could be a really powerful ticket. And on the Republican side, Fred Thompson, man, he just looks good. But he's got the South node hitting a lot, his son, and a couple other points before it gets to Election Day, which can be scandal and self-undoing. So he's going to have to get elected, obviously, to be the Republican nominee. He's going to have to beat out Giuliani. But if he does, he can give Hillary a real run for her money.
Yeah, see, I think he could. The only aspect he has a problem with, like I said, he does have, he has his every, they all have their little, skeleton in their closet, but he had some big skeletons when he worked, as a lobbyist. And when you were in the lot, like I was saying, he, on one side, on his lobbying, he was working with some very ruthless dictators. And then on the other, he also, and his wife was part of a major movement working with the Planned Parenthood, which is not exactly what the Christian right would love to see as a president. You know, somebody, I mean, though he says he's pro-life.
The Christian right re-elected George
Bush. What he says
and
did were two different things, huh?
The Christian right re-elected George Bush in the last election. I don't know. He just comes out to me as really strong.
Yeah.
More than the other Republican, Mitt Romney. I don't think he's strong enough to go the distance. And he's more skeletons in his closet than Fred Thompson.
Who you think between Giuliani and Thompson, because Thompson sort of started late, but who knows, you never know. He started late in jumping into the...
Well, that's what I mean. He has some issues to work through, but if he could play his cards right, he looks really good on Election Day. Giuliani is pretty much done. Intuitively, I have no feelings about this. This is what I was going to tell you. This comes from my friend Larry. If you go on my website, zodiacbuzz.com, I have a link to Larry's site. I put up his new moon reports. He's one of my teachers and mentors. He works out of the New Jersey-Penn Sea border doing chart readings and teaching classes. Larry was helping me out with how to find these charts, and he said it's an old rule in politics that if you enter the race during a void-of-course moon, you're done before it's over. And that's what Barack Obama did, and that's what Rudolph Giuliani did. They entered the race during a void-of-course moon, so they don't stand a chance. And he cited me some examples, which I should have saved, but one of them was Jimmy Carter in the 1980 election. He entered the race when the moon was void, of course. And, of course, he lost to President Reagan, which he probably would have anyway. But I think also Nixon in the 1960 election against Kennedy entered the race and the moon was void, of course, but I'm not 100% on that.
And that was a tight race. Nixon, actually, people don't realize that was a tight race, almost to very similar to, and it split the nation originally between, it was almost, but not, I mean, it was very tight, but almost as tight as the Bush-Kerry and the Bush-Gore elections. So where do you think our country's heading toward?
Well, that's interesting. I have a lot to say about that. I don't know how much time we have, but as we go into 2009, because the election's in late 2008, the inauguration's going to be in 2009 when the next president really takes over, we have a lot, we have strong Jupiter aspects in a prominent place in the USA chart. The USA chart I use, there's a couple different ones out there. They're all for July 4th, 1776. One I like is the Gemini Rising chart. In that, it shows strong Jupiter, which, again, is luck, respect from foreign countries, and we're just going to feel better when we elect a new president. But what I, the key phrase that comes to mind for me is there's going to be a lot of false optimism. It's going to surround us, and whoever wants to be president is really going to have their hands full. Be careful what you wish for, because you just might get what you want. And it's going into 2009, there's a lot of planetary aspects. Again, we're going to be excited. We're going to be really optimistic. We're going to be really motivated. And the country does need to be energized. So a lot of optimism isn't going to hurt us as long as we don't get carried away. Because
get too overly confident. I mean, we get all this wishful stuff, but realistically, we're not counting our ducks. We're jumping before we even got to the third duck, basically.
Exactly, and there's some planetary activity in here between mid-November of 2008, right after the election, till March 1st, 2009, that indicates radical troop withdrawal, like just getting the troops right out of Iraq. And if we do it that quick, we're going to see some major repercussions here. We're going to get a taste of it in if we start withdrawing troops right after the election, like before the inauguration, we're going to get a taste of the impact of how it could be in our country December through January. And then the shit could really hit the fan, pardon my language, in August into September of 2009. There's a lot of hairy stuff going on in April of 2009, a lot. False confidence could be our worst enemy. We really have to be aware of, I think, this personally, and this plays out in the planets, these aren't just my opinions, we have to help ourselves before we keep going, rushing off.
Helping everybody else.
War is our downfall.
Yeah.
We like to look big, we like to act big, we like to be the superpower, but really we're not that strong anymore, and we need to learn that charity begins at home. We're going into a huge period of transformation, and as we move into the 2012 election, we're going to really need to look after ourselves. There's one important thing I want to say, if I might. Starting in 2008, next year, before the election, there's going to be a big planetary shift with the planet Pluto moving out of Sagittarius into Capricorn. It's been in Sagittarius for about 12, 13 years. When it goes into Capricorn next year, where it's going to stay for a long time, we're going to see huge changes in corporate America. And I think...
And what year is that?
But we're going to be going into a recession like we haven't seen since the 1930s.
Wow.
That's going to be because of lack of involvement from foreign countries and foreign nations. We're so dependent on them right now. If they withdrew all their support, like with our outsourcing, a lot of foreign cars, everything's made in Japan. Once that's gone, we're going to be really hurting, and that's what this administration is going into. It's going to hit really hard 2009 through 2011, major recession. And then again, it's going to come back or continue until 2014 through 2015. We're going to have something like the New Deal to pull our country out of what we're going into.
Wow.
We're going to have to rely on our own resources, our own selves to get through this, because I just don't feel like we're going to have a lot of foreign support.
Wow. That's
we've done a lot of undoing to ourselves, to this administration, and through this war. It plays out planetarily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for us to pay back the world, not just through diplomacy, but through our resources, teaching our knowledge to other countries, but we can't rely on them. There's also we're going to look at huge changes in our education system. I think if we go into the next election, we might be in a major recession, but it'll be a much better time where we feel more unified as a country. It might take a major recession to unify the country because we're so divided right now. And the only thing that can sort of bring us together, that plays out with the planets, is for us to be totally knocked on our butts, where we just have each other to rely on. It's like that old song by the Youngbloods, Smile on Your Brother. It's what we have to do with everybody like a brother and band together no matter what we can't start separating each other by political parties, race. We're just going to have to look at everybody equally and rely on ourselves.
Well,
that's my personal...
Sometimes the hardest lesson is the best lesson. But
that's what we're going into, is major transformation, annihilation, and rebuilding out of the ashes.
Okay. I wish I had another hour here, Carrie, because we can go on and on with this stuff.
I had a good time doing this. I have to.
Yeah. I want you to tell the audience how they can reach you and you know, if getting a horoscope done or a reading or whatever, let just, you know, how they can touch you with you or any other stuff that you also promote besides along with your website.
Well, the website you can get to at www.zodiacbuzz.com. It has my monthly horoscope on there that I write for Southern Nevada Life. It also has my hours at the Psychic Eye on Charleston and Rainbow that I work and the prices that I charge for readings. The number for the Psychic Eye is 255-4477. They only accept appointments for readings. I can do readings over the phone anywhere in the world. I just read for a girl in England yesterday. And the phone call for appointments only. So you can definitely call up that number to set an appointment or book a reading over the phone. 255.
By the way, everybody, that's 702. It's in Las Vegas.
Yeah, area code 702-255-4477, and they're about 5 days a week. But I always say call ahead just to make sure because things happen. And we don't just have to do astrology charts. We can do your tarot. And I say book at least a half hour if you're doing tarot or astrology because 15 minutes is not long enough to cover basic issues. You can tell just from this broadcast. But thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on my show. It's really a lot of very interesting things. Especially I'm surprised with Thompson. I mean, in Hillary, I wasn't so surprised to some extent. But a lot of very interesting things. And Giuliani, oh, my God. But, Terry, I want to thank you.
I think Hillary ultimately is going to be our next president. You know, especially if she picks Edwards as a running mate, they could be really powerful. And I'd be really interested to see if Thompson can get the election over Giuliani.
Yeah.
I think he's a good candidate. Who knows? We might see him in 2012. Because Hillary Clinton has some planetary things that looks like she could have a major breakdown her first year in office or be really shaky. I don't know if she's really up to the task at hand. And so much stuff is going to be happening in 2009, crazy planetary activity.
Well, that, okay. Yeah.
You know,
well, I want to thank you again for coming on my show, and I want to thank all my listeners who are listening out there in future archives. This, by the way, will be archived within 2 days. So if you guys, anybody missed any information, you go back to it. Tell your friends to look at it, and when you've got your primary or caucus coming up, whether it's in Iowa or New Hampshire or wherever, California, New York, Massachusetts, or in the South, Carolinas, just check it out. And if you're overseas and you're curious about who our leaders are and you're not familiar with, you're probably more familiar with them than the average American, check out what Kerry had. The information has. It's very fascinating. And I want to thank all my listeners again. I want to thank BBS Radio for putting me on here. Again, this is Andrew Fetter. When pigs fly and don't look up, those aren't UFOs. And with that, I want to thank you and God bless you. And hope you enjoy Pipe Dream. Thank you.
Pipe dream. Smell the roses, the sights, the bodies right there.